Welcome everyone. I'm very excited to introduce you to this new iteration of the Agora Talk. Today we will discover the amazing Joshua and the work she produced during her residency at Agora. To moderate the talk, please welcome Amiel Moukad, our volunteer digital curator. Amiel is a curator in contemporary and digital art, researching gender identity. Their approach is ultimately researching queer representation through culture. After graduating from La Sorbonne in philosophy, literature and history of arts, they are pursuing a master at Central St. Martin's in culture, criticism, and curation. It focuses on a broad approach to curate from working with UNESCO to curating contemporary ceramics exhibitions in France. They believe digital creation is politically charged, especially during these pivotal times where this art form established its significance, defining our encounter with a new dominating medium. After this introduction, I'm happy to hand it over to you.
Thank you very much. What a presentation. To talk about Joshan, that we've been doing this residency together. Joshan is an Asian Australian artist. Her practice, art direction, filmmaking, moving image, performance, sculpture, and digital installation. Her interests incorporate science, math, and psychology, attempting to create alternative discourses around social topics through deconstruction and experiments with atmosphere and subject matter. Joshan Dar's work, Ex Machina, now play that she'll be presenting today, it tends to build an ongoing preoccupation with our relationship with digital technology. It has, she will say it herself, how it has permeated into our bodies and psyches. Should I hand it over back to Joshan for her to present her
work? Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'll be speaking about Homo Ex Machina, which is quite a playful approach using WebXR technology to explore the liminal space in what I would consider to be this sort of cyborg relationship we have with technology. It's continued a long lineage with my own sort of exploration of digital tech and an attempt to create a tangibility out of this very sort of intangible virtual world that has thrust itself onto our necessities of living, especially in this period. Yeah, I have been fascinated with the lack of tangibility of the virtual space and also the absence of games really within a kind of fine art context. So I wanted to amalgamate pop culture and science fiction interpretations of the digital with a fine art context and with my practice. Yeah, sure. The description of the game. The point of the game is to explore this digital object that stemmed from an organic bone sculpture that I made. And I was really curious with the liminal space between the physical and the digital and translated this object into virtual space using photo mapping techniques and discovered all these errors that the machinery picked up with this mapping process that I've now come to consider to be the digital hand in the same way we have this artist hand, and exploited those errors using animation technology, which I myself have encountered in a very kind of exploratory way over the past couple of years. But find it fascinating because, again, it allows us to have a grip, have a tactility to the virtual space, which I think is massively powerful. I grew up with video games and with a real interest in physical material, and I was fascinated with the game's ability to allow you to permeate behind the glass and interact with this imagery that was presented as an absolute. Like, it has these physics to it that don't apply to the real world, and this sort of reverence towards it because of that, because it represents both limitations and also like an impossibility of potential that I don't fully understand. I think people find intriguing. But to continue on, I think I digress a little bit. So the space, the object, the digital object, this organic object was photomapped and then manipulated with software almost erroneously. And I really wanted to explore what the actual physics of this digital object were. And it translated into a game kind of serendipitously after collaborating with Alex Tennyson of Type One, who is an amazing coder. And together we just explored the possibilities of sharing this tactility with the viewer and engaging with virtual objects in a holistic sort of way, the point of the game is to explore and try and navigate this sort of impossible space, this object which is floating in this kind of void space, and then you discover all the little Easter eggs and fun coding bits along the way. I don't know how much to say. I don't want to reveal too much because it's a cool thing of exploring it. But yeah, the point is to be blissfully marooned onto this elongated shape floating within this void of potential that is, in my mind, the digital. It continues a narrative that I've built into my practice of the cyborg human and of imagining what the digital counterpart to the cyborg human machine symbiosis is experiencing, what it looks like, how it works. And I consider, I think, a lot of objects of my practice to be this kind of imagined revealing of these processes based on my own research of digital spaces, of AI, of WebXR technology, trying to translate that into something that is quite enjoyable and reflective of these spaces.
Thank you for your presentation. I think there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot of stress and depth into your research and your production art in general. I think it's really interesting. There's to start with some questions to try to decipher, to try to find a lineage in what you're saying. Is it? I see there's a lot of like plays on dualities that I find interesting that to talk about with this sort of play of digital and organic of our matter and the digital. Could you firstly, take us through the process of, for instance, titling this work, Homo X Mac.
I think the duality comes from, I think I speak a lot about the binary in this kind of machine, man, organic, inorganic, artificial, natural dynamic. But my own sort of position on it is that it's just to debunk this binary on the whole idea. So the title is literally translates to how one becomes machine man. And it's an idea that permeates through my research of how exactly that has happened, how our faculties have been extended by the technology that we come into contact with, and how the binary between natural and artificial is one I think we quite anthropocentrically create. So it's almost like a tongue-in-cheek kind of title, to be honest with you. My argument would be that machine is already, man and machine will become the same thing. And yeah, the now playable is very much, the Latin is a reference to more institutionalized forms of knowledge and the way in which we categorize these things into binaries often. I still think we're in this very post-humanistic reign of categorizing information in quite anthropocentric ways. And this new introduction of digital power and technology and artificial intelligence is debunking a lot of those assumptions that I think a lot of our information is based on. So the title kind of touches on all of those things.
I see. It's a very interesting approach, like a playful approach in deconstructing and analyzing this relationship. And in the same way, I see a very strong reference to science fiction in your work, for instance, especially in this one. It makes me think of a stranded individual on a planet. Is it relevant to talk about like the experimentation of your work as enjoyable or ominous, as the invigilators would be walking on this stranded, on this hovering, shiny planet? Is it relevant to talk about then an enjoyable or ominous experience, and where does your work lie in this?
I think it's relevant probably in the sense that I would be curious to see what people interpreted out of it, whether they did find it enjoyable or ominous. I've really presented it according to how my contact with the materials, with the digital materials and technology, have allowed it to be presented. And it's sitting in a void, but it's also sitting in this kind of galaxy space. It's this like digital nexus of interconnectivity. And I think this is probably the desire to present the virtual space as this space of potential, not as like a void of absence. Science fiction is very much so relevant to my practice. I think it's so much about understanding of digital spaces, of artificial intelligence, have come from long obsession with science fiction, which is both beautiful and ominous. And I think that really encapsulates the tone of our encounters with two new technologies, because no one really knows what they're going to shape up to be. But one as powerful as the digital definitely deserves a little bit of probably weight attached to how it's presented. It's not necessarily intentionally implanted into the work, but as it's been almost a mapping of my progress with the technology, I think that a lot of that thought process is laid to it, into it.
So yeah, it would be inevitable to have this tension in the works, because it obviously is a continuation of the questions that the investment of the advancement of digital art creates. So it's a sort of another work that would crystallize these questionings. That's really, and to go back to the same sort of duality and tension, I think that the tension between organic and digital is really present in the way the audience has to interact with it. There is this sort of playful approach on this tension, as a sort of, this work points it out basically and sheds light on this discussion between digital and organic. What's your thought process behind, for instance, using a bone in organic matter as a host planet? Can you tell a little bit more about
that? I think it does simultaneously come from my obsession with natural materials, and I think my Australian upbringing and unearthing these artifacts of like natural histories. That was my main material as a kid, was these bones and bits and objects, and trying to identify where they fit in with my surroundings. And I think this bone definitely represents the same thing. And it's also for me to translate this object, this bone, which has mortality like inlaid into its existence, into a virtual space, which is completely immortal. It's just playing with that sort of tension of different realities.
See, that's another sort of portrayal of this tension, then the mortality and digital and organic. I think it's a really fascinating attention.
I hope it represented somewhat harmoniously in the piece, because I do think that a lot of these binaries are things that we construct and use to catalog the data around us. But the way in which we use these things doesn't really reflect attention per se. I think people have integrated very naturally into technology. I suppose it's both to highlight attention, but also the unnecessity of the tension. That may be too ambitious a thing to do with an artwork.
No, it doesn't have to be this binary sort of system or this binary measure or construct. And I think these kind of works, this digital artwork, for instance, goes towards a sort of like an idea of a deconstruction and what I call tension. But it's just interesting to use all these the different point of references to me allude to something that seems, as you said, very personal with your upbringing in the fauna of Australia, for instance. So it's interesting to see how you're projecting your personal experience and memories into like crystallization, you know, universe, digital realm. I think it's really interesting. You've mentioned as well that this work, is it logical continuation or a representation of your practice? Will it be an ongoing art piece, or is it already an ongoing art piece? Is it something that you tweak and perfect or change with time, or is it just crystallized? Do you develop it, tweak it through time, or is it a sort of finished artwork in a sense that you wouldn't want to go back to it to mend it because it's digital, you have this possibility? Is that relevant for your work?
I think absolutely. I mean, the piece as it is finished in the sense that it will exist on this particular web address forever, as long as the internet is around and we still have access to the server. I would really like to continue. I will be continuing to develop it as much as my sort of eloquency with the technology allows, and continue to work to explore these different sort of discoveries and inlay them into the work. The object itself has very much been with me throughout a lot of my practice, and I think I have definitely almost like personified it as this character, this sort of dual identity in the digital space. And it's very sort of existence and the way it looks and the way it behaves and the kind of incantations of where it goes into and the mediums it manifests into, of which there is quite a few, including like films and still images, and actually most recently made a cameo in a music video, is part of its sort of journey. And I wanted to pick up all of these ways in which it manifests as being a part of its digital history. So in that way, it maps this whole progress of things. But having said that, this actual piece will still exist as it is, because again, I don't really want to erase the history of things, which is what I find to be, again, slightly intangible about the virtual space, is that you can never really see how things have existed before, because your access to them is organized by the like your user experience. And yeah.
That's interesting. Do you think that's something that could be applicable to some of your other, because this one seems like a very personal sort of personal blueprint of your digital abilities and the logistics of your digital art. So it's a sort of mind map of your experimentation with digital art. Is it something that is applicable to your other works, or is it really this art piece that crystallizes this timely experimentation and development, personal, you know, artistic, creative process developments?
I would say that it's quite applicable to my practice. It's definitely, as you mentioned before, I have quite a background in science and in mathematics and logic and in experiments. And I think I treat a lot of my practice as experiments. And so the sort of results of them are quite crucial. And I like to be transparent about where it's gone and what has happened with different things, because I think a lot of that becomes the work itself, the performance of these different experiments. And I like to work with mediums and with methods I'm not really comfortable with. And also not disguise any of that discomfort with the final piece. You'll notice in this particular piece there is a lot of, I guess, errors. There's things that don't really make user experience user journey sense according to like the kind of digital rules of what runs websites usually. And I found them really enjoyable. I didn't really want to get rid of them. Like, the code I was working with was like, really? And I was just like, yeah, but they become a part of the work. And I think we always expect virtual spaces to behave quite well. And I really wanted to resist that with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It used to be maybe always based on some kind of user experience, as you said. And this seems to have the sort of foundational aspect of foundational approach of user experience with having, for instance, falling eternally I shouldn't say too much, but you have this possibility of there's no winning or losing, right? There's more of a possibility of endlessly losing yourself into the digital nexus, but
yeah,
maybe we should leave that to the experiencer.
Yeah, I think it's probably relevant to say then that the game is not necessarily in a game that I've constructed, but it's more the game is exploring the technology of the particular website.
Okay, see. I wanted to talk about a bit, I'm sorry if you mentioned it before, but Forbes, I think, was something that was really had this video game element. I was just wondering, to have a sort of lighter question, what, if that's relevant anyway. Just curious about it.
It was either white orbs or white square that were available in the kind of coding to be sort of to like unveil that as being something quite arbitrary. But the presence of why white orbs, I think they were quite visible in the dark space. But the reason you can compute them was, again, to just be able to understand and have a little bit more awareness of your surroundings as you're roaming through it. Because obviously it feels a bit different when you've just got like a square screen and you're moving through it versus when you can actually like shoot into it and the viewpoint is fixed as the center of your screen, as opposed to a navigatable thing, which very much so makes it about what your screen is doing within the space. Yeah.
It also has, it really crystallizes your approach on, or your video game making piece. And is also in a way reassuring, because I was talking about my sort of personal view on it as being possibly ominous, but having these white orbs is something that seems to really make it playful as a sort of more imminent playfulness to it. So it's really interesting. Thank you very much for all your presentation. What's next for you? What's next for Jochen Dar?
I think to just continue this sort of artistic journey of digital spaces, translating them more into physical sort of installations now that we have a little bit more access to unremote spaces is quite exciting. I'm naturally quite a three-dimensional physical artist, and I think a lot of my interest in digital spaces is how to translate them to our bodies, into our hands, into our perception of our phenomenology of spaces. At the moment, I am continuing to work on this particular piece and make the physics of the space a little bit more complicated. So we're going to hit the FTP coding pretty hard soon and then continue to work in the digital sense. I'm quite excited, probably taking my practice over to Singapore very soon to explore things from a different cultural perspective.
I see. Would it be the sort of digital art scene of Singapore, or a more broad new media art, or would it be actually your installations?
I think I would definitely like to continue exploring the digital side of things, but honestly, any art. Like, I was never initially a digital artist, and I'm really, again, interested in experimenting with mediums. I'm really curious about how I think various topics manifest and how you can express them creatively. So I will always be very obsessed with digital art, but I think I couldn't really say that I'm going to continue exactly with that.
Okay, that's super interesting. And congratulations on graduating the BA Fine Arts of
Cincinnati. Thank you very much.
That must have been really exciting to do. And I guess this is where you probably learned about, did you have a knowledge of digital art or techniques about it prior to this, formally this BA, or was it?
Absolutely not. I was very much a little bit, perhaps like stick of the mud about avoiding digital art. I've always grown up being like a sculptor and a painter and a drawer and an illustrator, and I found a lot of comfort in these more traditional art making forms. I like things you can touch, and then very much so transitioned into digital art out of the observation that it is such an important and all-permeating element of our modern world that I couldn't very well just be like, I don't like it and refuse to move it. So as in a more solution orientated direction, I was like, I'm going to try and build this tactility that I love so much about the physical world into the virtual world. I don't as finished at all with Homo Ex Machina. I would like to continue building on that.
Nice. Because you've mentioned this idea of comfort as the manual works or constructing art pieces with your hands. Comforting or comfortable? Would you think that it is something that's not, maybe not as present in the digital space, or that you're trying to project or find again into this digital art? Is it something, a question in your creative process?
Yeah, absolutely. I find it, I think just because, again, like these same, the rules that apply to like physical work and the physical reality don't apply to the virtual space. And we are very much so sitting here in the, actually in this context, we are in the virtual space, but our thought process and our feelings and stuff, they all come from this virtual. So I suppose amalgamating and like elucidating how these worlds function as well. A lot of my work as well is a little bit more didactical about various elements of digital technology, I think primarily artificial intelligence, which we've just skyrocketed into this sci-fi reality of having AI, having thinking machines built into our day-to-day processes and our smartphones. Like, it's everywhere at the moment. Yeah, it's very much so a constantly reminded sort of topic to research. I think I digressed a little bit there with your question, but that did that kind of answer it?
Yeah, that was really interesting. Thank you. Did you ever, for instance, maybe as to close this entire wonderful talk, did you work with AI on your pieces or some pieces?
Yeah, there's actually a great app called Runway in which you can access a lot of open source AI algorithms to a limited degree. So I have definitely been dabbling with those as much as possible, particularly GTP2. That's a mouthful, which is a language text processor whose older brother, GTP3, has actually achieved sentience according to the Turing test. So they've had to reformat the Turing test in order to actually represent sentience of the machine accurately, because it's so good at using human language patterns at replicating communication, basically, which I find fascinating.
That is fascinating.
AI in general is a bit expensive to dabble around with, but there's a lot of open source stuff that I think is brilliant. Would definitely encourage everyone to go and explore, because it really shows how, especially at this stage where we haven't perfected it, where like AI is very much so being developed, you're able to see how it thinks through the errors it makes, especially with like with language, with the way it produces images, with the way it captures and identifies things, it uses data and it thinks about them in the same way a human brain does at a very arbitrary level. And it's definitely fleshed out a lot of my practice and a lot of this imagined space to actually be able to interact with artificial intelligence in quite a transparent way. But we do it all the time. It's in Spotify, it's in your like Instagram algorithm, all of these things, like everything at this point uses AI to primarily, I think, target information at you, but with a lot of things as well.
I see. Yeah, definitely. It is present. And it sounds really exciting to see how, I'm maybe not going to ask you this because it seemed like maybe it's part of your creative process that's ongoing and really happening now, but it would be fascinating to see how you will incorporate that into your work, whether it's text, whether it's video, imagery, or any kind of new media with AI, I think is definitely really topical and fascinating. So thank you very much for sharing your research, your creative process, this Ex Machina, our playable work with us. And it was a really interesting residency. So thank you very much.
Thank you both for this opportunity, for working with me, for supporting the work. It's been a real pleasure to work with